Good morning. My name is Kyle, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the CanCare 2.0 implementation conference call. All lines will be placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Ms. Becky Ross, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Kyle. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call. I'll give a few updates, and then we'll have some updates from our managed care organizations. We have KDAG and KDAD staff on the line. We also have our MCO partners and DXC, our enrollment broker and fiscal agent, all here to answer your questions. So our updates are pretty brief. First of all, for the rest of January, we will be holding these calls only on Thursday morning at 9. So the same time, just Thursday mornings, not Tuesdays. And we'll assess towards the end of the month how frequent we need to hold calls, if we need to continue holding them. Also, I'd like to remind folks that the recordings of the previous calls and the transcripts are posted on the CanCare website right on the front page. So if you joined a call late or you missed a call, you can go there to get the information. And the final reminder is open enrollment continues for through April 3rd. So folks will have up to that point to make their final selection of managed care organization for the year. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Sunflower for their update.
Good morning. This is John Allen Smith with Sunflower Health Plan. Everything continues to go very well with everything being implemented with CanCare 2.0, and we are experiencing no issues to share with you globally at this time, but are happy to answer any questions that anyone may have regarding any issues. But at this point, we have no updates on any issues related to our implementation.
Thanks, John Allen. Now I'll turn it over to United Healthcare.
Hi, good morning. This is Carrie Kimes with United Healthcare. We do have one item to report since we met on Tuesday. In the process of loading our transition of care files, it does appear that we have loaded some of our HCDS authorizations twice. We wanted to really make sure they were in there for providers to be able to bill services. It has no impact, negative impact on the members. Providers do have active authorizations and authentic care to be able to bill for the services. It's more of just an internal cleanup in our system. We don't want to have two active authorizations. So we're in the process of identifying those and getting the duplicative auths removed. We're also going to contact the providers and let them know that we are aware that they were duplicatively entered and we'll remedy that, but there should be no negative impact while we do that cleanup. Other than that, we've, again, continued to see a little bit of an increased call volume in our member call center, but our teams are addressing that and able to assist our members, and that's all we have for today.
Thank you, Carrie. And finally, we'll turn to Aetna.
This is Keith Wisdom from Aetna, and our update on Tuesday is still still at the same situation, right, that member services are, have a large call volume, but it's going smoothly with that. The provider services line are open. We're operating within the transition to care rules. We're working through the provider loads, but that is all in line with expectations, and we're, handling the prior offs that people need and honoring the prior offs from Amerigroup members that were transferred to us. So same status as our discussion on Tuesday.
Thanks, Keith. Kyle, I think we're ready to take questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that would be star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Anonymous. Please state your first and last name. Your line is now open. Excuse me, the line is now open for question.
Yes, this is Shirley Gamble with the Sterling Medical Center. And I was on the call, the last call, and Keith, someone was going to give me a call back in regards to an interaction I had had regarding the website and trying to initiate the workaround on the login or sign in. I didn't get that call, and I was wondering if I'm just haven't reached the list yet, or you missed my number.
So Shirley Gamble, correct?
Correct.
And 620-278-2123?
Correct.
Okay, we have your information, and I thought that call was made, but we're double-checking, and so we'll make sure you're contacted today. So,
okay.
You should have been contacted by now, so apologize if that was missed.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Linda Farwell. Your line is now open.
Good morning. I have a question in reference to the Kansas Telemedicine Act that went into law January 1st and about video visits with patients while they're at home. We've not seen any kind of correspondence about that and how Medicaid and the MCOs are going to handle that.
Linda, this is Becky Ross from KDH&E, and I think we'll need to take that offline. Our staff are working on that, and they're having some conversations both with NCOs and legislators about that.
Okay. Well, we're in the process of trying to implement that. It's going to improve patient care, and so can you just give me a call about it then?
Linda, this is Chris Ford. I will give you a call about the policies in the process of implementation and so forth. So that will be the regular process followed, as well as the notification to providers. And this is kind of beyond the scope of this call, where it's related only to the implementation of the CanCare 2.0 for the three MCOs. So I'll address that with you separately from this call.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that. And then I just have one other question for Aetna. The provider loads and making sure they're all corrected with everyone, do you have a time frame on when that will all be completed?
There's multiple stages to that, so there's no exact time frame. So what particularly are you concerned? Did you say this is Linda Farmer, or did I get the name right?
No, it's Farwell, F-A-R-W-E-L-L. And is this Keith?
Yes.
Okay.
And
we have some issues with our providers showing non-participating and problems with getting authorizations. We've been working through that, but I just wondered if you had a time frame in mind when everything would be good.
We're working on your load in particular, and We'll keep you updated. I know we've been in contact with you to work through the prior authorization issues, and we'll continue to be in contact with you to discuss those issues. Would you like us to reach out to you today?
No, you don't necessarily need to do that if you don't have a date. I'm just kind of getting some notes together for a KMGMA meeting, so. I'm sure there's other providers that are facing the same thing. So I was just wondering if you had a date.
Yeah, there's. It's provider by provider discussion. There's a tremendous number of, literally thousands of providers that have either haven't submitted or have incorrect OIG forms. By state regulation, they have to have OIG forms to be loaded as contracted versus non-contracted, and so there's a lot of technicalities in this. So it's a provider by provider discussion, and we encourage the providers we're reaching out to be back in contact with us to supply the missing information and forms we're looking for. But like I said, we'll have those discussions with each provider, and we'll have an individual. We've had already individual contact with all those providers as well.
Okay, great. Thanks to everybody for your information and this call.
Your next question comes from the line of Roberta Rehm. Your line is now open.
Yeah, this question is for Keith at Aetna. We haven't received any response back from our contract. We've reached out asking for response on it, which therefore causes issues of us not being in network and authorization issues. I didn't know if there were other providers that haven't heard anything.
Your name again, please?
Roberta. It's Roberta Rehm.
At which provider?
Kansas Spine and Specialty Hospital in Wichita.
We will.
So, like when we
call them,
when we
do you
we
want
tried,
us to call the main number, or do you want us to call a direct line when we reach out to today?
I can give you my number. It's 316-462-5331.
We'll be reaching out to you directly. The with the transition of care policy, the bulletin that KDHE issued, prior authorizations follow the in-network process for in-network or out-of-network providers during the first 3 months, so the first 90 days. And so issues related to a contract should not have a bearing on prior authorization. And if you have specific challenges you've encountered, we'd be glad to discuss that when you reach out to you.
Yeah, well, when our physician office was trying to authorize for our facility through EviCore, they were told that they would pin the auth until they verified network eligibility. So I didn't think they could verify network eligibility until we were in network. I don't know.
We will make sure we have a discussion with EviCore regarding that.
Okay. Okay. I'll look for your call then.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Belinda Mahoney. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is for Aetna. We're having the same issues as the previous caller, getting prior authorizations, and EviCore was one of the problems, and being told that we're not in network and we couldn't get the prior auth. For one example, we made 3 phone calls, and on the last phone call, we finally did get the prior authorization. My question is, if we cannot get a prior authorization through the transition period, and we've tried to, will it be honored by Aetna?
We will solve these issues. Prior auths are not dependent on your network status, and we will make sure these issues are solved today. So.
Okay.
And okay. So, Belinda, what organization are you with, and how can you?
I'm with the Hutchinson Clinic, and it's a large clinic, and we make a lot of calls to get prior authorization, so it does affect us.
Do you have a direct line you want us to contact, or call the main number?
No, my direct line is 620-669-2644.
Thank you. We'll be in contact today.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Ruth Cornwall. Your line is now open.
Hey, good morning. My question is for Aetna. This is kind of in a follow-up to the questions that we talked about on Tuesday with respect to access to the provider portal. I understood that the provider portal asked for a claim number in order to access that, but there was a workaround to that, and that folks were to reach out to their provider experience rep or contact the provider experience department. There maybe was a hiccup if there's a few data elements missing. Now I'm hearing that until the provider won't have access to the secure portal until they've completed contracting and credentialing. Is that correct?
Say that last piece again.
I'm hearing that in order for a provider to have access to the secure portal, they'll need to be completed with contracting and credentialing.
So they do have to be loaded as a contracted provider, and so that is true that it has to be complete. We are and they have to be loaded as contracted. We are taking the registration information, and they're at the top of the list when they do get loaded to be contacted to finish the process. We are working internally to evaluate if there's a possibility of providing portal access for providers not loaded as contracted, but obviously there's legal and security implications that have to be evaluated before we can, in addition to the IT infrastructure implications, to see if that can be done.
Okay, so do we have any idea of, like, the backlog and what time the length of time that you're looking to get these caught up and put in? Earlier you indicated that you all are working on the provider loads and that you are meeting the state's expectations. What is the state's expectation?
So the I didn't use those words, but I did say it is a provider-by-provider issue. And we're glad to have those discussions with each provider. That gives us the opportunity for the providers who have missing information and missing forms for those to be completed. But there's same answer as we just discussed.
And I appreciate that, Keith. We represent roughly 3,500 actively practicing physicians in the state, and the majority of them participate in the Medicaid program. I'm being inundated with calls from folks with many of the issues that have been brought up already this morning. But most heavily, it is the provider portal piece. So I think if we could get updates on the status of how those are going, that would be helpful, at least for me and our organization.
Yeah, I will. Reiterate a discussion I had with KDHE yesterday in meetings. One of the challenges we're having with providers across the state and across all sorts of provider types, and we literally have thousands of pieces of missing information and forms that we have to comply with state regulations, with NCQA, and with internal controls. And we average over 300 calls a day to providers requesting information to be completed and forms to be submitted. And we get completed forms and completed information, all of what we called about solved for about 30 to 40 providers a day. So that means we're accomplishing about, and you would think that after calling multiple times and doing this process for weeks now, that would start to snowball as far as getting across the finish line, and it hasn't. So I think a very important part of this discussion is, the platform you have to share with your members, the importance of the requests that are there and the forms we need. And so that's why it gets down to a provider-by-provider issue. I don't want to paint a broad brush. There's thousands of providers that have provided every single thing, and but there's also thousands of providers that we need their help in completing their records. So, doing gross generalizations in either direction is not helpful. We need to work through, like I said, these issues on a provider-by-provider basis.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Colette Sanchez. Your line is now open.
Hi, this question is for Aetna. So if you don't have providers loaded and we can't get on the provider portal, how is that going to affect our payments?
So the issue is not providers are not loaded, right? There has to be loaded as contracted is the final step to a very complete record to get access to the portal. All providers are treated as in-network, no matter of their contract load status. And the top priority for loads are claims that come in the door, right? So we are paying claims, we're adjudicating claims, we're receiving hundreds of claims, and that's soon going to be thousands of claims a day. With our first, payment issued tomorrow, so that is not an area of concern that's going to get in the way of claims payment.
Okay, and that'll lead into my next question. So, are you paying claims once a week then?
What
is your payment frequency going to be?
We adjudicate claims daily, but
right.
The payments are issued twice a week. Joe, do you have the exact timing on that?
So, Aetna's process right now is we are doing 100% audit of all of our claims, both that is appended and are moved to either a pay or deny status. So we do not have auto adjudication going on right now. So we want to make sure we've got everything paid correct or denied correctly.
Okay.
Most of our denials we're seeing are for dates of service prior to January 1st. That's our number one reason for claims denial. We do have our first check run going this Friday. We will at some point move once we believe we have all of our systems are working 100%, we don't have any major issues. We will stop the 100% QA environment. Things will auto-adjudicate or auto-deny, and those check runs will actually occur twice a week. We just want to make sure that we've got things paid right and denied right, so we're only doing one check run a week at this time.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. I'd rather have it accurate than go back and redo. So thank you for answering the question.
Your next question comes from the line of Ruth Cornwall. Your line is now open.
Good morning. This is actually Tish Hollingsworth. Ruth and I are taking the call together. And Keith, I'll give you just a little bit of a break right now, and I'll ask this question of KDH&E. I'm starting to get some questions regarding Amerigroup. And I know during our December All Payers Workshop, there was some information that was shared to us during that meeting regarding phone numbers and, I guess, exiting information from Amerigroup. Is that information also available on the KDH&E website? And if it's not, can it be maybe placed somewhere there? Because now I'm starting to get a lot of calls. Hospitals are starting to get concerned about, I better hurry up and get those claims paid in or billed and paid through Amerigroup.
Hi, Tish. It's Shirley Norris here.
Hi.
At KDAG. Hi. We can certainly put that contact information out there on the CanCare website. It is not out there right now. We could post it both at KMAP and CanCare, just so providers have that information. That's a good point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Jackie Clifton. Your line is now open.
Okay, thank you. This is Jackie Clifton with Advocate Care Services, and we are an FMS provider with CanCare. And I haven't heard much mentioned about when Aetna will be showing in AuthentiCare and when AuthentiCare will be loading authorizations for self-directed care. So we're kind of curious on when we will see authorizations and how we will bill, since we use AuthentiCare for all of the billing, how that's going to work. So I don't know if this is for Aetna and KDHE and KDADS altogether, or who might want to address this.
Hi, this is Scott Bruner with Aetna. Joe Eberwine is going to answer that question, but he was out of the room when you were asking it, so I hate to ask you to repeat the question, but could you go through it one more time to make sure I don't miscommunicate what the question was?
Yes. This is about the FMS and self-directed care. The authorizations get loaded into AuthentiCare by the MCOs, and then clients clock in and out. So if there's no authorization, they can't clock in or out. So I'm not quite sure how that's working right now with our clients who have transitioned to Aetna. But we don't see any authorizations in there. We do see Aetna now. We don't see Aetna listed as a payer. So we're just curious about when this is all going to happen for us to be able to capture the information we need to bill and how, you know, timelines and how that's going to work.
Yeah, this is Joe Eberwine. Let me kind of give an overview, and then we do need to make sure we have your contact, because you should be able to see Aetna as a payer. We do have a challenge, you know, as you can imagine, we have all these Amerigroup HCBS authorizations loaded in. We found, as we were moving forward with the implementation of the EVV system through First Data, that some of these providers were either not contracted or we didn't even have them on the radar as even providers that we needed to reach out to. We have that full list. We know what information is needed. From what I understand, from our network team reached out to all these providers, secured the needed demographic information so that we can get these authorizations loaded. We're right now back into the similar process that Keith kind of raised. You know, we're trying to load everything into our systems, especially all these providers that we weren't even aware about. We have a timeline for this afternoon to have that all entered, or tomorrow morning, so I need to follow up on that. We are still planning to have everything done by next Friday. We've been updating KDHE on a daily basis because it's been kind of a challenge with the Amerigroup transition and also the EVV transition. So, but we do need to make sure we have your information and make sure that you're seeing Aetna as a payer. That should be all set up.
We have had the issue where we're working through the end of December Amerigroup claims, and
each of those
claims are showing Aetna, so we have to go in and change it back to Amerigroup to make sure that they actually get billed properly. So we've seen Aetna in that respect, but we're only still seeing Amerigroup, Sunflower, and United as the payers. So I don't know if is what you're seeing.
And these are dates of service past January 1st?
No, we're just dealing with up to December 31st. We do the, you know, billing in arrears. So we're just getting
Jackie,
up through. Yes.
This is Becky Ross. Could you give us your phone number, and we'll have somebody from First Data and or KDADS contact you about this issue?
Yes. And it would be nice if maybe KDADS would reach out to all FMS providers, because I'm sure everybody's experience is the same thing. But to call me, it would be 316-260-9910, and either talk to me or Jennifer. She's the billing expert at our office, and she's the one that's looking at all these auths, or not auths.
Right, and so your issue is you've got claims that were from 2018 in December.
The issue is we've had to change those to Amerigroup to bill, and so we had to manually do that. So for some reason there was a glitch there, but we found that and fixed it. But there's nothing in there from January 1st going forward. So any client that went to Aetna, and we don't know who those are, they will not be able to clock in or out unless it's still under Amerigroup. So, I mean, we don't know how this is going to work, and we have payroll on January 15th. Well, we'll pay January at the end of January, I guess. But we don't want to spend the whole month not knowing how this is going to work.
Okay. So I want to be clear here. The issue is not the previous Amerigroup claims for December. That you got that fixed?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And so the issue now is going forward for January, you don't see Aetna as a payer.
Correct.
And there's no authorization in there.
Correct.
Okay.
I do have something else for Aetna if you're done, Becky.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Regarding contracting, we were contacted by Aetna in 2018, I would say like March, April timeframe, sent contracting information. We filled it out. I believe I submitted it in May, so it's been quite a while. Didn't hear anything for a long time, then had another person contact me and requested some information that I'm sure I'd sent, but I sent it again. And then most recently, it's been at least a month now, I had contact from someone that said they needed a copy of our business license. And to me, I said, well, I'm not sure what you mean. We're a HCBS provider. We're contracted with KMAP and the state, and I've sent all that, but they want like a general business license for Kansas, and we don't have that. It's not a requirement. Not every business is required to be licensed. So I'm not sure if your person in Arizona is figuring that out or if this is affecting other people. But, I mean, we've been around for 15-plus years and never had this issue, so I'm not quite sure why the contract is taking so long.
So, Jackie, this is Keith Wisdom from Aetna. We wrote down your phone number. We'll be in contact with you. We'll investigate whether it was credentialing related or some other related request to see specifically what was requested, and we'll be in contact. We did look up during this discussion and verify that we have your contracting paperwork complete, but we'll investigate what was requested and get back with you.
Okay, and sorry, one more question to just add to that. In all of that paperwork, I don't believe there was ever anything that we submitted that said, okay, if you're going to pay us, here's how to pay us, either. So I don't know if we need to do some paperwork to be ACH paid through you guys, if that's something we find on your website. But once AuthentiCare gets set up, we submit those electronically. And I wonder, well, how are you going to pay us, or how do you know how to pay us at that point? So we don't send paper claims, and we don't bill through your website. We bill straight. AuthentiCare sends it to you.
Okay.
So, Keith, are you going to address all of these issues for Jackie when you give a call, the contracting issues, and then the other corporate items that she had.
Yeah, we will discuss that issue directly, Jackie.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Stacey Brent. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Stacey Barrett from Lincoln Center OBGYN in Topeka. My question is on the payment for Aetna. Currently, we receive EFTs with Aetna payments for Aetna Commercial. Is this going to be a separate payment, or do I need to tell them to be looking out for something else?
This is Kim Glenn with Aetna, and it will be a separate payment. We do operate our Medicaid business under a separate claims adjudication system, so you will also need to sign up to do electronic with Aetna Better Health of Kansas.
But if we have not signed up, we will receive a paper check.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Ruth Cornwell. Your line is now open.
I'm back. back to that dead horse of the provider portal. Once you're granted access to the provider portal, will there be one sign-on, or will practices or RHCs have multiple sign-ons? Is it going to be by group ID or tax ID or the pay to, if you have a different pay to?
Ruth, if everybody's under the same provider ID, really kind of it's tax ID, then there will be one sign-on. But if we do have multiple tax IDs and looking at, you know, depending on how we've got those configured based upon the pay to records, then there could be multiple sign-ons.
Okay.
Just to add on to what Kim said, normally there's an administrator that's responsible, and then they can delegate out within the practice so everybody can use that one sign-on if they're using it under one tax ID.
Thank you. I was concerned more about from the pay-to perspective as far as if you've got a different pay-to, you know, you'll have multiple sign-ons to get in and look at different things.
That would be correct.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, everyone, for all the questions. And for those of you who provided phone numbers, folks will be getting back with you about your particular issues. Just a reminder that we're going to move to Thursday-only calls through the end of January. Same time, 9 o'clock, will be the same, I assume the same participant dial-in, but if it's different, we'll certainly get that posted on the CanCare website. The recordings and transcripts are out there as well. So any last updates from any of our managed care organizations or any of the state team? All right, hearing none, thank you all for joining the call, and we'll talk to you next week.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.